You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Morning, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Mutinoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy show today. It's Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We have lots of guests lined up for you. Our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Jim Santel, is going to join us after the 9:30 news. Donald Trump says it's completely regular that a convicted sex offender gets moved to club fed, essentially.
Yeah.
Minimum security prison. It's all good. Nothing to see here. Does that really happen? We have a lot of convicted sex offenders that they get sent to minimum security prisons. Jim Santel, who used to be a U.S. attorney and is still an acting attorney, he knows the law.
Mm-hmm.
We're lawyer adjacent. Jim will explain whether or not, of course, this just happens every day. I'm thinking no.
I truly have no idea. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to incriminate myself. Also, I just don't want to look stupid.
Just take the fifth.
Exactly.
Next hour, a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's meteorologist. We have very hot weather coming in. We might get some rain, I guess thunderstorms a little bit later on this afternoon. And then I think it's going to be a steamy, steamy weekend. So Brittany will join us for that, a little update. And then we're going to talk about our boys. Our boys.
Oh, now everyone loves the Brewers.
Well, it's called bandwagon, baby. Yes.
Fifth sweep in a month.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
It really did not seem possible at the beginning of the season.
We lost to the Yankees like 20-3 or 20-4.
Yes, those agonizing early days
of the season.
But what a turnaround for the
Brewers. Holy crumb.
So Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Ratcliffe will join us after 10:30 to talk about the Brewers and what is coming up. And then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is what a long, strange trip it's been. Getting trippier, too.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
For that. Wanted to start off with a really good piece in the Wisconsin Examiner. This is an opinion piece from Ruth Conniff, but we will include this in our show notes if you would like to read the article itself. And essentially, she's talking about how things are working in Wisconsin or not working in Wisconsin when it comes to this $4 billion budget surplus that we're sitting on. And our legislature never seems to want to do anything with that money except dole it out in tax cuts.
Correct.
There's no investing into systems that might need bolstering.
Yes. And it's $4.6 billion.
$4.6 billion.
And I think that's important to say. If it was 4.1 or it's still it is teetering between $4.5 and $5 billion in surplus money that can be spent on education, on infrastructure, investing in small business. I mean, conservation,
water.
There is so much that can be done with this money.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, this from the article on the Wisconsin Examiner, and state lawmakers cut taxes by $1.3 billion in the new state budget. So that's a quarter of this budget surplus. Mm-hmm. This tax cut will go out to Wisconsinites who earn up to $200,000. You're going to get a tax break worth about $180.
Which...
better than a rock to the back of the head.
It's better than a rock to the back of the head. It's better than a poke with a stick. But if you think about that, $1.3 billion, if you qualify, if it all works out, you get up to an average of $180. So
right.
I'm happy with giving. I feel lucky I'm able to give that up and say, look, take that money and pay for schools. fix the roads, do something with this, but don't give it back to me. I mean, that pays for some subscriptions on streaming. That does some things. That pays for maybe a month of groceries.
For a two-person household, maybe.
Which we are.
Yeah.
But also, it just, this one of the things that I remember when I hear this story, and this is nothing new, by the way. That's the point for me personally. This is nothing new.
Right.
Over a decade ago, we were sitting on a surplus. Thank you, Governor Doyle. And the Republicans decided to dole it out as a tax credit to homeowners. That averaged between $13 to $75 to $100, depending on your house. Once again, free money. It's not free money, but money is nothing to shake a stick at. But
I'll take it.
It's better invested into our state, into our communities. And then years later, they did the same thing to parents where they said, we're going to give you money back, parents. And it came out about $100.
Well, and that essentially is the point of this opinion piece in the Wisconsin Examiner. Yeah, those little, that $180, mm-hmm. that $100, that's great. But then we have to keep raising property taxes mm-hmm. in order to invest in services like water and roads and schools.
Yes.
So that $180 or that $100 that you got back from the state in the form of tax cut is now going back to the state or your municipality mm-hmm. in order to pay for services that you need.
And in Kenosha this year, they voted down a property tax increase to fund schools. It was like one of the few that didn't pass. And the people, and when the people have to say, they're going to say no, well, that's bad for our schools, even though we have people who are, like, I voted yes. I don't have children. I don't have children in school.
And you were still willing to pay more.
I was still willing to pay more because I know that our schools can benefit from that. But people, if they have the choice and they say no, then that comes down and the community has said no, then they're up a creek and they're not going to be able to fund certain things. But meanwhile, there is a literal pile of money in Madison. And they're going to say, let's chop a fourth of that off and give it back to the people. And the overarching problem for me is that they don't care how much goes back to the people, because that homeowner's tax credit that came through was $13 to $75 per household. If you owned a home, by the way,
right?
If you rented, you got nothing.
Yeah, that was not. Yeah, didn't do you any good.
That doesn't matter to them. What matters is that to them is they get to say, we gave you a tax break.
We got you a tax cut.
That's all we tax cut.
Yay
tax
us.
Cut, tax cut.
Yay
we
us.
Love tax cuts. Well, I only got $13, but I gave you a tax cut. Instead of taking
that $13 and putting it back into our schools.
Well, and I know that now once reelected, school superintendent Jill Underly asked for $4 billion. We talked about that extensively.
And we knew that was never going
to
happen.
That was a lot of money, but if they would have just committed to like $1.5 billion over 10 years and say, we're going to take half of it from the surplus and get the other half through various means of fundings. But for 10 years, we're going to give you $1.5 billion. And maybe that's not enough in that time frame. I'm just using it as I'm picking a number. That is a fantastic investment of surplus money that is doing nothing at this point. We could have used surplus money to fund the Brewers improvements that needed to happen. Governor Evers put forth a plan that came from the surplus. Republicans said no. Instead, they put together, I think, a $600 million package, which was three times more than Governor Evers' proposal. That didn't come from the surplus either. So why do we even have this money? Just go Joker style, pour gasoline on it and set it on fire.
We're talking about an article in the Wisconsin Examiner. If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, it's an opinion piece from Ruth Conniff and talking about, again, this big budget surplus that we have here in Wisconsin, which the Republicans only ever seem to want to dole out in the form of tax cuts as opposed to investments in things like public schools and roads and water systems. I think this is a really great paragraph in here. The assumption that drives this tax-cutting mania at the state and national level is that we shouldn't have to spend money toward collective public goods. We should all pay our own way, which is great if you can hire your own private security mm-hmm. and send your kids to private schools and not have contact with the rest of society, pretty much. It is cheaper and better for all of us to support a decent society for all of us.
That was our belief. I mean, we've had that belief in some way, shape, or form since the inception of this country. Major problems notwithstanding, because we don't have time. But I'm thinking of America post World War II. We're out of World War II. Economy is booming. We want nothing more than to send our kids to school, to work a good job, get a pension, buy that house in the suburbs. We wanted to do what America told us to do.
For all of us.
For all of us. Because if you do that thing, Jane, if you and your husband and your kids do that thing, well, then you're going to create and add to the economy, and that will make us better together. Our schools will be stronger. Our businesses will grow bigger. And then somewhere in the 70s and 80s, someone said, you know what I really love? I love so much money and so much power. Jane and her husband and her kids, I don't care what happens to them. And because of that, you stop caring about your neighbors, and then they stop caring about their neighbors. And now, 70 years later, we have this mentality of, I'm not going to help you even if you were on fire.
And greed is good.
And greed.
We've really, really embraced greed is good from the 80s.
Greed isn't good, Jane. Greed is cool.
Yeah. Wisconsin Republicans were unwilling to spend $4 million. Think about this. This is 0.004% of the entire state budget, $4 million. Republicans in Wisconsin would not spend $4 million to maintain veteran services to keep military vets from becoming homeless.
To those people out there who don't like us, and trust me, I know, you get on the live stream and you email us, we know you don't like us. I'm at the point now where I'm going to start telling you, you don't get to say you care about vets, because time and time again, the Republican Party and Democrats don't do much better.
Yes.
But the Republican Party actively denies vets their benefits, their access. They deny them the honor they deserve and the services they have earned through fighting for our country or just serving for our country. It is ridiculous. It is offensive. Anytime they vote against veterans' needs or interests, I don't understand how they get to stand up with an American flag pin and go, we need to remember the troops.
Well, but again, there's a lot of lip service on both sides.
Yes, absolutely.
Not only for our veterans, but for law enforcement as well. I think they use them when it's useful.
But I think we can agree that Republicans at this point now use them more.
Well, and I think we go back to Mike Johnson and the House Republicans still refusing to put up this plaque honoring the Capitol police officers who protected our lawmakers on January 6th. That is supposed to be up by law. And Mike Johnson is refusing to do that.
Because there are people in that party who say no one died that day. Therefore, no one died because of it. And that is it is disgusting.
Just a regular tourist day. All right, on the way, are you looking for a job? There's openings. The only requirement, bring your own mask. All the details coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. coming to you live from our studio here at a wet radio park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us after the 9:30 news.
It's been too long.
It has been too long. Big story happening up in the Green Bay area. Scott Suchek is the co-owner of a residence in Sturgeon Bay, along with his wife, Stephanie. Stephanie is the chair of the GOP party of Door County and the former chair of the 8th Congressional District GOP, and he has been arrested with possession of child pornography. This is making some waves in the Green Bay area and further up north. Dr. Lyerly will be joining us after the 9:30 news to talk about that a little bit. There are many, many other things to cover with Dr. Lyerly. So that will be happening after 9:30. Hour number two, he normally joins us on Fridays. He's got a little getaway he's taken.
You know, everyone needs a holiday getaway. That's a Billy Joel reference. I just watched that documentary.
Madonna had a song about that, too.
Holiday!
Yeah. Dan Schaefer is going to be here in the 10 o'clock hour. Not going to be able to make it on Friday again. He's got a little conflict. So we will be doing lots of recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, including a revisit of something we talked about yesterday, the Bob Donovan story.
It's just frustrating. We'll talk about it more later, but yeah.
Yes, that will be coming up with Dan Schaefer after 10 o'clock. Also, in hour number two, as we always do, we will lighten it up for the last half an hour of the show for Audio Sorbet after 10:30. Chance to take a breath, clear out our brains, get away from politics, have a couple laughs.
I'm calling it the official motto of Audio Sorbet. Audio Sorbet, we clean your ears with fun.
We need that on a shirt. There's more Matt and Aaron air merch waiting in the wings. Audio Sorbet today, we're going to talk about summer jobs you had as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, and when we get to, feel free to send us texts and emails.
You can leave a voice note if you want.
Leave a voice note, let us know, and we'll... we'll talk. We'll reference them all when we get to there at 10:35. But the conversation for us before we got on the air when you asked the question was funny to me because I realized that I didn't have the, you know, that there's a certain experience in the world of summer jobs I didn't have. So yeah it's it'll be interesting. I'll be interested to see the variations because, you know, we have listeners of all ages.
All over the state.
Exactly. So yeah, feel free to text us your summer jobs. Leave a voice note by getting on your Civic Media app, which you can download right now, put it on your device, and you can get a hold of us anytime. And you can absolutely, like, say you win some baseball tickets, Jane.
Yes, for example.
And you want to take pictures of you and your friends at said baseball game. You can do that and send it through the Civic Media app. It's really simple.
Super, super easy. Yeah. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is Smile, You're on Camera edition. Stay tuned for that. And as always, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. You can use that same email address if you would like to suggest a guest for the show. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a topic in your community that you think needs more attention. If you have a suggestion for a business to highlight on Beyond the Cheese, please let us know. Reach out at janesays@civicmedia.us. Wanted to start off with this, though. Hans Breitenmoser has been a guest on our show. He's a regular on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9 a.m. across the network. And he appears in an article today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Hans Breitenmoser is a multi-generational dairy farm owner.
Yeah.
And this is from Chris Kenning in JS Online. Farmers from Wisconsin to California hit by Trump's immigration raids. What is next? Farmers say few native-born residents will pick fruit or tend cows. The agriculture worker visa program can be expensive, tough to navigate, and limited. And they say Congress has failed to act on this, for years.
Yeah. And this is a problem that we have spoken about on this show for at least a year,
at least,
not longer.
At least.
Hans has spoken about it on Pat's show. We've talked to Darren Von Ruden our monthly catch up, which he'll be here next Wednesday because the first Wednesday of the month he's here to give us the lowdown on everything going on in the farming community in Wisconsin. And it's just another instance, another example of, well, we told you so. This was going to happen. And your universal elegant solution, if you will, that's the new way we call a stupid idea.
Thanks,
here.
Ron Johnson.
An elegant solution is just to say, hey, Americans, go get a job.
Go pick fruit.
They're all in the fields. You'll feel good.
Now those opportunities are open to you, which they weren't before because all those immigrants were stealing those jobs. So now, America, the fields are open for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not lining up.
And there are no lines at all these fields for all the work available because Americans aren't going to do those jobs.
And this, to me, is yet again another example of how this administration does not look at consequences. Mm-mm. They don't look further down the road. What if I do A, what is B? If B happens, then what is C?
Yeah.
And I think we see this in all areas of the Trump administration, where they do not look ahead to what this action will mean.
Well, to be fair, it's expected. This is an administration run by a man who bankrupted a casino and
several casinos
and other companies.
Gotta work at that.
And what really has coasted him along is his name as a brand, as a valued brand, which is, whether you like it or not, that is the case. The Trump name is a valued brand, whether you like him or dislike him. We talk about him, and that gives him value. So coasting his business ventures along on that has served him well, and he's using that same mode of thinking in this. It's never about, hey, we want to do this project and our outcome is X. Let's take a look at all of the reports. Let's speak to experts. Let's run some models. And then say in 3 years' time, we want to reach X. So it's all like, and even if it was something I didn't agree with, Jane, I'd be like, all right, that's long-term planning. I get that. But it's never that. It's that we are going to deport 3,000 people
a day.
That's a right. Day. Sorry, I almost said a month.
A day.
A day. And we're not gonna have any sort of backup plan.
No.
There's no backup. Because
it's all perfect.
It's all perfect. It's gonna be great. Nothing's gonna go wrong, Jane. Nothing's wrong.
56-year-old Hans Breiten Moser's parents emigrated to Wisconsin in 1968 from Switzerland to raise dairy cows on a small farm. Now Breiten Moser says in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he relies on about a dozen foreign-born workers, mainly from Mexico, to help him operate his 460-cow farm. Quote, if it wouldn't be for immigrants, my dairy farm wouldn't run, unquote.
Well, and also, when did his parents come here?
68.
Yeah. He is also the child of immigrants. In both situations, whether we're talking about Hans's parents or we're talking about the individuals who are working on the farm with him, we're talking about people who are doing exactly, and I mentioned this to somebody last week, and I can't remember who, but they're doing exactly what America asked us to do. They're coming here. They're working hard. They're helping their family.
Setting up businesses.
They're not, as far as I know, Hans isn't hiring any mastermind criminals who are running an underworld operation. But maybe, I mean, I don't know. I've never met Hans. But, you know, I mean, like, everything that's happening in this story to me is everything they wanted people to do. Come to the country, work hard, do it, quote, the right way, whatever that is. It's always changing. This is a beautiful story of immigrants helping immigrants. So here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
Losing people who just want to, who are in many cases paying taxes as undocumented folks, by the way.
Yes.
Just look that up. Google the amount of money that undocumented folks pay in taxes because they don't want to be seen as taking. So they add to the economy with their work, with their money into the community they live in.
They buy groceries.
I mean, they... I feel like I'm having a 101 conversation right here, like 101 intro to immigration. But that's the conversation I seem like we always have to have because everything they do goes against the most basic logic.
Yes. These are illogical moves.
Yeah.
seems to me. The Department of Agriculture estimates that of the 2.6 million people working on U.S. farms, almost 42% lack legal status. Farmers say few native-born Americans will pick fruit or tend cows.
Yes.
The Foreign Ag Workers Visa program can be expensive and limited. Farmers say Congress has failed for decades, decades, to pass comprehensive immigration reforms. This has been a can that's been kicked down the road forever. Forever. And we had a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We had a deal.
Yes, we did. Last year.
And Donald Trump wanted to use it to run on it, and so he scuttled the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we are.
Yeah. And if you want to go back and go to civicmedia.us/shows and go back to the interview we did with Felipe Medina Torres. Wait, no. No, Felipe Torres Medina.
Yes.
About his book, America Let Me In, A Choose Your Own Immigration Story. I have read it. I enjoyed it a great deal. And he breaks down in very clear details on just how difficult the immigration is. It's difficult for everybody. I mean, if you are European, rich, and connected, it's not as difficult, but it's still a lot of...
There's still a lot of hoops. There are.
If you are a poor person coming to this country to live a better life and work and make money, it is debilitatingly hard. You have to work, and you're here, and it's anywhere from 15 to 20 to 25 years to get your citizenship.
To get your papers in order.
Yeah, so... These individuals who come here who want to just make a better life should be applauded, and they're doing the good work, and they're doing it to help us and their families. And again, this is a basic conversation that if I put it on a whiteboard in front of 9-year-olds, they'd be like, this doesn't make sense.
It's been a big flip on the issue of immigration in this country. A recent Gallup poll has found 79%, 79% of U.S. adults now say immigration is good for the country.
Well, congratulations, 79%. Our elected representatives will not care.
35% say they approve of Trump's handling of the issue, but 79% of U.S. adults now say immigration is good for the country. And I can only imagine that some in that 79% were at some of those rallies where they held up signs saying mass deportations now without, again, looking thoroughly at the issue and the ramifications of these decisions.
And going back to Felipe's book, I forgot to make the point is that to your point of it's something that's been kicked down the road for years. He makes a point of talking about that. This is not a Republican thing as far as the not solving the issue. This is a joint failure on the part of Congress.
Absolutely. For decades. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and our resident young person, Calvin, on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at the same number. You can also leave a voice note at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on, Todd Alba's show today, 2 to 4. He will be joined by Kyle LaFond, who's the founder and president and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing. He's also a member of Main Street Alliance, and he's going to talk about the tariffs and how these are impacting Wisconsin businesses.
He's also on the board for, I think, public radio. He's on a board that deals with, I apologize for not knowing the exact thing, but he's He's also going to be talking about the closure of the Corporation for Public Radio, Public Broadcasting, which is something we're going to keep that conversation going on this show as well, because we want to talk to some people about that.
Yep. So join Todd today. Going to be a great show, as always, 2 to 4 across the network. Right now, this is the portion of the show we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to take a breath, get away from the news, and have a little cleansing for our brains. We call her Civic Media's genie of just about everything, because she does pretty much everything around the network. Emmy winner Terry Barr is our guest. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning, Greg and Jane. And you call him Young Cal.
Yes, Young Cal.
Yep. Young Cal.
Young
Cal. Ooh, I like that too.
Adventures of.
Oh, it's great to be with you. I have a question, though, for you.
Sure.
Mustard or ketchup on your brat?
I would go mustard.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say this. In my younger years, definitely a catsup type person. Like, of course. And as I've gotten older and my palate has evolved, I'm more of a mustard person. And then throw a little, if I'm allowed to, throw a smidge of sauerkraut just for that crunch.
Oh, that's delicious. Okay. Here's why I'm asking about the mustard in particular. I went to a recent Brewers game, and it was the $2.50 brat night.
Oh, boy.
What?
I think everybody was worried the brats would run out, so people were buying 2, 4, 6, 8 brats at a time. Nobody could find mustard. It was crazy.
That's interesting.
The friends I was with, she'd run over to one, another would run to another. We're all yelling, "There's no mustard! What's happening?
It's the end of the world!"
The horror!
I know. Yeah, first world problems. I know. Well, then that got me thinking, what is the deal about mustard? And from there, that took me to, there is a National Mustard Museum
in
Wisconsin.
Yep. Yes.
Yes. How about we play something for you to kind of get you in the mustardy mood?
Oh, let's get in the mustard mood. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's do that. Calvin, hit it.
On our hot dogs, on our bratwurst, mustard is so cool. Never mayo, never ketchup, they're against the rules. Gleaming gold and mellow yellow, smooth, rough, sweet, and hot. Fight. Poop on you, will fight and eat some lunch.
Oh!
But that's, I have chills. I have chills.
I'm so glad. That is Barry Levinson. Barry is the founder, the owner, the president. He's the everything. And he cuts the mustard for sure. He runs the National Mustard Museum in Middleton, Wisconsin. And for people that don't know where Middleton is, it's right outside of Madison.
Right.
7,000 mustards he has, and you can taste every single one. He has a tasting bar for mustard.
So does he have like a mustard flight?
You know, I think he does. And then I think he offers it with different meat or cheeses or crackers so that you can get the full flavor.
2026 road
like
trip.
I have to ask him.
Go on.
How do you know when you have a favorite? And this was so cool from him. I didn't realize Wisconsin actually makes a lot of mustard.
We do.
As well. Yeah, his favorite is made in Evansville by Ringhands, and it's a beer mustard.
Okay.
But he's so funny. When I talked to Barry and some of his team, obviously we were having a really good time. He said asking me which mustard is my favorite is like asking which is my favorite child.
Yeah, but most people don't have 7,000 children, so well, I mean. Right.
Let's maybe Elon, but that's a whole other discussion.
All right. This is Audio Sorbet. Now, two things, Terry. I must. One.
Yeah.
Who puts mayo on a hot dog? That's what I want to know. I just want to know what kind of beastly beast does that. That's just too much. Also, can I offer a tagline for the Mustard Museum?
I would love to hear this, Greg.
The Mustard Museum, a must see. You know what? It was better in my head. All right.
has so many things. You know,
why do I look at Jane? Why do
I? I know.
You know how many times I've laughed at your puns?
Oh, wow.
Ooh. No. I would totally road trip 2026. I feel like that's really
I would mustard.
Yes. And obviously he has all the Wisconsin mustards you can try, plus, you know, 6,500 others. And it's free. It's free admission.
What?
It's open every single day.
Is it just
National
his house?
Mustard Museum in Middleton. Wow. And this is going to be my slice of Wisconsin this week.
Oh, that's fantastic. I didn't.
It's so fun.
I would never have thought it possible for there to be 7,000 different varieties of mustard.
Yeah. It's pretty wild, isn't it?
That's
crazy. So then you think about here we were at a Brewers game and we couldn't find one single container that still had mustard in it.
And then meanwhile, they're like, you guys want ketchup instead? And people are like, get out of my stadium.
Oh, it was true. All the ketchups were full.
Oh, sure.
There was not a mustard to be found.
I always thought that putting ketchup on a brat was kind of a food crime. And one of those unspoken food crimes.
I didn't know.
You can put mustard and ketchup on a hot dog, but mustard and ketchup on a brat, I think that's a whole different category.
Well, we're taking it to the new level, and obviously the song that we played to kind of get this whole thing started, it is something that Barry wrote. He calls it the Poupon You. I love that. Poupon You. Fight song.
So
when you're having a bad day, just listen to that and you'll be all happy again.
If I'm having a bad day, I'm going to Middleton. I'm just going to go there and be like, I brought my own hot dogs, buddy. Here we go, Barry. Let's do this.
If you're just joining us, Terry Barr is our guest. She does a great feature across the network called Slice of Wisconsin. And she's going to be focusing on the Mustard Museum, which has been around a long time. I didn't realize that this was completely not profit driven.
No. He does take donations and obviously sells mustards.
Sure.
But otherwise to him, it's a love he has. Mm-hmm. And it's just something he started it in the 90s. And to him, it was just something he discovered one night walking around the grocery store. Can you imagine? He's looking at the mustards and thinking, if I build this mustard museum, they will come.
Just, I must honor them.
There you go. There you go, Greg. You got it.
We have little bottles of Grey Poupon coming out of the cornfield. Yeah.
Aaron Cruz on the live stream says Mexicans put mayonnaise on their hot dogs. Okay, cool. For me, mayonnaise is and Calvin's in the chat trying to start fights with me here saying, do you put mayo on a bologna sandwich, Greg? First of all, I haven't eaten a bologna sandwich since ninth grade. Can that be different than a hot dog? Okay, stop getting philosophical on me, Captain College. But Barry's being for me is something to behold and something to look up to. Even if you don't like mustard, this is a man who wanted to start a mustard museum. And I am sure there was more than one person who said to him,
are you nuts?
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
And he said, yeah, I'm doing this. And he has done it. And he loves it. And he has a song. And it's an amazing pun. I just think that's fantastic. And I would love to go there. I would absolutely love to go
put
there.
Put it on our road trip list.
There you go. There you go. And
yay!
Also,
I'll meet you there. Oh my gosh, this would be so fun,
Terry. In your
it felt like the right time too. We're hitting the. I hate to even say we're hitting the end of summer.
Yeah.
And you know people are trying to jam so many things in. It's a great place to go. It's an easy drive from wherever you are in Wisconsin. Yeah. And he'll take good care of you.
It sounds like you could spend several hours there. It's going to take me that long just to taste 7,000 different mustards.
How far are you, Jane?
I'm at 10. You know, I'll be here till Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Well, and he does make it fun. I don't care what age you are, but he sets up mustard containers. Like a bowling alley, so you can bowl the mustard container.
Why do I live in this state? I love it here. Yeah. It's amazing. I'm so proud. Really quick, in your research on this, in your deep, detailed research, I know you're scientific in this stuff. Do you see anybody with that same love for ketchup in as much as almost? Because like to me, if there are 7,000 mustards, that reminds me of like craft brewing. I know you can go places at farmers markets. They make like specialty ketchups that may have a little spice or this and that.
Yes.
But I feel like ketchup isn't treated with as much artisanal value as mustard is. Like, there's a mustard museum, and there are 7,000 of them. This is a science, right, to some people.
Well, and he told me also another one of his favorite stops is in Eau Claire. It's Silver Spring Foods, and they actually have two of the international award-winning mustards. One is made with horseradish.
Ooh.
Oh, and this one sounds lovely.
Oh,
one is dill pickle.
Come
mustard.
On now.
Ooh. That's, yep, that's,
and again, all Wisconsin.
Oh. Okay, so Middleton,
Eau Claire,
and then wherever north we go. We'll
end up in Bayfield.
We'll go to Bayfield. Okay, there we go. I have a feeling.
Lovely.
Well, we need to find Wanderoos. I feel like Wanderoos is a place.
We can stop in Wanderoos.
But yes, oh my gosh, we're going to be so busy. Our doctors are going to be so unhappy with us.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Your last road trip was amazing.
Thank you very much.
So fun to watch and listen to.
We had so much fun, Terry. We genuinely did.
Yeah.
And just met the most lovely folks. And it was a fabulous experience. We would love to do that again. So hopefully we'll get back on the road before too terribly long. Anything you are working on that you would like to tease us with for your next slice of Wisconsin?
Well, I got this slice that I'm working on. I'm also working on some other Wisconsin State Fair and other fairs around the state, trying to find and dig into some really different stories. The art at the fairs, which sometimes is forgotten. So we're going to be looking into some of those, and I'll be sharing those as feature stories coming up in the next couple of days.
These are all on our website, aren't they, Terry?
Yes. Yep. They sure are.
And I do want to point out as well that when we have guests on whatever we're talking about, a lot of times Terry will take our video from the live stream and our audio from the show and then write up a great, like a companion piece to go along with it, which you do a fantastic job, dear Terry. You really do.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, and I was listening to your interview with the League of Women Voters. I think that one needs to be done.
Deb's great.
People are confused, especially.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
We thank you very much, Terry, for your time.
Turn that into a story today.
She is Civic Media's genie of just about darn near everything. Terry Barr has been our guest. We'll see you in a month.
Okay.
Sounds great. Stay close. We have This Shouldn't Be a Thing to wrap it up, and I'll give you an update on the bird.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck in my birdhouse. That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Want to also congratulate Terry from Greenfield. She called in and picked up that wonderful Beyond the Cheese knit hat, courtesy of Wisconsin Knitwear. Stephen Lorenzo was so gracious to have those made up for us out of the goodness of his heart. And thanks also to Amy Gorski from Poppy Bakery, who joined us right after 10 o'clock. She has a new great bakery on Milwaukee's East Side. If you ever have a suggestion for Beyond the Cheese, which is where we highlight a business outside of dairy, just let us know about it. Contact us at Jane Says. JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. You can use that same address for events going on in your neighborhood, anything else you want to contact the show about. That is the most direct way to get a hold of us. Mm-hmm. Or you can call, text, or leave a voice note directly from the Civic Media app.
That's absolutely. I even say it sometimes and don't realize I'm playing on the words and punning. So,
coming up tomorrow, Todd Alba, our friend and colleague and our road trip companion from a couple of weeks ago. Todd's going to be here after the 9:30 news, and we're going to be joined by Civic Media's, as we call, genie of just about everything, Terry Barr. Emmy award-winning Terry Barr. You hear her all over the network. She does great, great features and great feature stories called
Taste of Wisconsin.
Taste of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Slice of Wisconsin. Slice of Wisconsin.
Thank you.
It's fantastic.
Sorry, I just honestly went to a thing called Taste of Wisconsin last weekend, so now I'm
confused.
Street tacos.
So
on the
Terry
line.
Will be here tomorrow for Audio Sorbet at 10:33. Right now, though, Calvin, it's getting a little late. 10:54. That means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
All right. Calvin found this one from the Associated Press. No one with the byline. The headline reads, Hot Dog Spill Shuts Down Highway in Pennsylvania Commuters' Worst Nightmare. Worst.
No.
I got it, right?
I got it. There's nothing about that. You can't do anything about that joke. Just stand there and let it bowl. There it is. Don't encourage her.
I'm just reading the headline. A truckload of hot dogs spilled across a Pennsylvania interstate Friday after a crash that briefly clogged the heavy traveled artery in both directions. Crews were stuck with a job they did not relish.
God.
Rolling up the scattered tube steaks for disposal. Shrewsbury Fire Company Chief Brad Dauberman says, quote, once those leave the truck and hit the road, that's all garbage. And it's still pretty warm, unquote.
I don't know, man. 5-second rule says I can eat some of those.
I think 5 seconds.
The hot dogs that land on top of the hot dogs.
They're fine.
They're fine. Yeah. You just put a little relish and mustard on there. Good to go.
The tractor trailer had an unspecified mechanical problem a few miles north of the Maryland line right during morning rush hour. It pushed into a passenger vehicle and scraped along a concrete divider, and the trailer got ripped open spilling versed all over the road. 4 people actually did require medical attention, not life-threatening. A front-end loader was used to scoop up the hot dogs and drop them in a dump truck.
Oh, man.
Emergency crews couldn't help but see the humor. The guy from the fire department says his daughter texted him a photo of a hot dog-themed T-shirt. Fire chief says, quote, I can tell you personally, hot dogs are very slippery. I did not know that.
Well, no, sir. No, sir. You don't just get to say that statement and walk away like you're still a professional at what you do.
I can tell you personally, hot dogs are very slippery. I did not know that.
Can you tell us more about the accident? What accident? I don't know what you're talking about.
It was very slippery.
It's just a thought of my mind.
So be careful out there, I guess.
I love it when we get the ones that have no one on the byline, because there's some guy in the office like, hey, Chris, this is a fun story.
Did you cover this?
Good puns. You didn't put your name in there. Yeah, I didn't want to, because this will not be considered for a Pulitzer, so therefore I don't want to be associated press with this.
Story you can't help but line it up again, Calvin. A story you can't help but relish. Thank you. Two shows.
Calvin, do that faster. Catch up. Seriously.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and traffic and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next. And then Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, Pete Schwaba and Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here. We are the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.